Hello, I am Tracy Hitchings. My guest today is Olav Martin Bjornsen from theprogressor.net. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a very good night to you wherever you are across the globe. I am transmitting from Queensland in Australia. You have tuned into Tracy's Prog World. Well, I hope all you folks out there have had a good week since last week's chat here on TPW with Dr. Prog. And no butter here, guys, no butter at all. Today we have someone who has been involved in the prog rock world with a good enough track record that may even have Kev Rowland pricking his ears up and holding his breath. So my good and fair weather friends out there, we are zooming out to Scandinavia right at this moment, where Olav is waiting in cyberspace with his box of progressive treasures to share with us, as well as other temptations, I'm sure. So hello there, Olav. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fairly great. It's morning here. I'm enjoying my morning coffee and my morning vape.
Wonderful. Oh, that's how it should be, shouldn't it? Something lovely and warm. So how cold are you where you are at the moment, weather-wise?
It's fairly hot here, actually. It's not as cold in the southern parts of Norway as in other parts here. So we have about 10 to 12 degrees Celsius outside now. It's clearing out up after a couple of days of heavy rains.
Yes, wonderful too.
And we'll probably hit 20 Celsius in the sun today.
Yeah, absolutely. As you hear out there, guys and dolls, Olav is Norwegian. Of Norwegian man indeed from Scandinavia, so wonderful. So it's great to have you on here, Olav. I'm very, very pleased. Okay, so Olav, I'm going to begin about what you're all about, and it'll just unravel and unfold for our great guys out there listening in. And guys, don't forget, you know what, if you're driving your car whilst you're listening to the show, don't forget to be really careful. If you've just got your feet up wherever you are, yeah, just enjoy. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do it carefully. Don't forget that. So back to Olav, who's come and joined me on TPW. Olav, you were born in December 1971. You had a challenging childhood, music being one of the main escape avenues alongside comics, books, news, and gaming. Your first main interest, to your recollection, was probably Kiss. You got into metal more and more and more. You discovered prog around the age of 14 via Rush, Marillion, and Hawkwind. You gained an increasingly expansive taste in music as you got older. I understand, Olav, you were away from music from about the mid-90s until 2001 or thereabouts, as you say, and then started getting more familiar with what was going on again. Solely as a fan until 2006, when you were talked into doing reviews for the first time. So, yeah, now that's probably where it really started for you in respect of getting into the music and becoming a reviewer, isn't it? And writing about bands and doing all the things that that you're involved with. So what can you tell us about your growing up and your challenging childhood? Oh, do you want to save that for later?
you could probably do something about that later as well, because it's a long story. It's a very long story, but I can start with how I got into prog. I've been thinking about it since you emailed me a while back. And actually, the first album I ever listened to that is deemed more or less progressive rock is actually an album by Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. When I was a child, we were visiting an uncle and an aunt of mine, and they had a nice big Pioneer stereo in their living room, and I sampled their music because at age 10, 11, as I was back then, or perhaps even 12, I started listening to music a lot. I'd been going through my Beatles and Rolling Stones phase at that age, and I discovered that album by Electric Light Orchestra called Time. I think it was released back in 1981. And I really fell in love with that album. So every time we visited my aunt and uncle, I was at the stereo with headphones on, listening through that album over and over and over again. So that was probably my first encounter with what was progressive rock. I didn't know about progressive rock at the time. I didn't know what the genres of music was. I just knew what I liked and didn't like. But that was the very first one, I think. Yes, and then next up, a few years later, I was traveling on a regular basis up to a neighbor in town to fix my teeth. I had an overbite of 1.3 centimeters or thereabouts, which needed some serious treatment. And then I was sent on the bus and got some money with me from my parents so that I could buy something to eat and stuff while I was up at the dentist. And of course, the food money went to music. I discovered a nice little music shop close to the dentist and then went in there looking. And there I found the next progressive rock band that I still like, still treasure, and that's Hawkwind.
Hawkwind, yes, of course. Yeah, great.
Oh, yes. I found two albums in the cheap department of the music store, Choose Your Masks and Sonic Attack. And I bought them due to the cover art, especially of Choose Your Masks, which has some really intriguing cover art, especially for a teenager. Mysterious guy with a mask and cosmic space where the face should be. Very mysterious and very intriguing. And of course, I like the music a lot as well.
Yeah, and that's what it was about the prog, wasn't it? It was about being intriguing, wasn't it? You get drawn into it.
Oh, of course, it's the moods and the music as well. I mean, on Choose Your Mask, you have Hawkwind doing their Ray Bradbury with Fahrenheit 451. And you have that apocalyptic song at the end, Waiting for Tomorrow, I think it's called, where you have they have those wondrous lines about mushrooms in the clouds and sky turning red. And of course, it's very intriguing. And by this time, at age 14, I was a hardcore sci-fi and fantasy fan. So of course, lyrical lines on that note, of course, they intrigued a lot. And then I was, of course, by the age of 14, 15, I'm in an expansive state, as most teenagers are when it comes to music, if they are grabbed by music at that point. So besides tracking and following Iron Maiden, Metallica, Mekong Delta in the more obscure department, Celtic Frost, metal bands like that, I was also introduced to Camel by a friend of mine. And the big love was, of course, Rush when I discovered them. Also, an album I bought on the cheap, Power Windows, I think it was, that was on sale, bought that one. I really enjoyed it. I remember listening to that album at least once a day throughout the whole year, always discovering new subtles, subtle details and nuances in their music. I really, really started to like them and buying up their discography. And on a by chance there, I also discovered Marillion. And then also I got, of course, to get to know what progressive rock was. And with the genre back then, as with now, I chose to stay out of the fandom.
of the what? The fandom?
Yeah, the fandom.
The fandom
movement, the fans. Fan groups.
Oh, oh yeah. Okay. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Every fan group back then, as is often the case now as well, you have one fan group with their universal truth and another fan group with their universal truth, and the two do not mix. And I really, really dislike that kind of thinking. I really hate it when people say that this music sucks, this music is the greatest thing ever. Every type of music has its qualities and its charms and its audience.
So that's really great to hear you say that. To me, I mean, yes, I love prog and I was kind of in and out of it for almost 30 odd years or something like that. You know, but I did love other music too, but I just love singing prog and writing to prog and, you know, or what was prog. And I didn't even know what prog was when I joined it. I liked it because it just had this different thing about it, and it just seemed to be... it engaged your brain a bit more as well as your feelings, you know. So, yeah.
But I'll agree with you there. I think the main thing about progressive rock, progressive metal and progressive music in general is that the music is a bit more sophisticated. The music doesn't strictly serve as a background for a singer or a solo instrument. You'll have more expansive rhythms. You'll have more expansive bass lines to add on to the rhythms. And you also have more layers of sounds and often subtle rather than dominant. And all of these add a lot of depth to the music and a lot of details for the brain to embrace. And with the top artists, you also have those glorious melody lines that they manage to embrace everything inside. So that also captivates the heart and the soul. So that's how I would describe it myself.
And that's beautifully put.
But anyhow, so now I'm at age 14, 15, and I'm listening to metal, and I listen to prog, and I listen to other stuff. I was a great fan, and still like old Gary Newman, for instance. And the Russian composer Modest Mussorgsky has always been close to me. Good old Aldi Meola and his late 70s albums, also a treasure for me. So, and also Norwegian dream pop band Belcanto, something I always treasure. So I've had fairly expansive taste from fairly early on, because music was, of course, an escape of mine as well. So it meant more than just being merely entertained. It was also to be transported into another landscape, another universe, and also to handle, to some extent, my emotions. Music is also very much an emotional expression. And when you have emotional issues that you can't verbalize, that you aren't able to, you haven't worked through various experiences and stuff like that, using music as a tool for that is, for me at least, very important.
That's wonderfully put. That really is, yeah. And I know that that's true also, because I have worked as a voice therapist, and it's quite amazing the way you can use music vibration. Oh, this is beautiful. It could be a beautiful song, but you can actually use vibration resonance and with music, certain notes, and it's quite amazing what can happen. So you're feeling it just from a natural force. So that's great to hear. That really is.
Yes, and I know it's used also in treatment. In my daily life, I work in church administration, believe it or not.
Ah, okay, beautiful.
I do mainly accounting and cases for the what we in Norway call parish councils. Or congregation councils, work for them. But I have colleagues that are out working with the elderly, and in retirement homes, they use music therapy for people with dementia. And many of those people, they have their just about only awake moments. They were young, and they will light up, and the still bodies will suddenly get life, and muscles will work again for the first time in perhaps months. So we know music works in that way, and it's a healing process.
What you're talking about is something that's very close to my heart, and I know that it's true, and I've worked with it, and there's different ways of working with it, but it's what you're saying is it's really connecting to ourselves, isn't it? Reconnecting to ourselves and letting go and zoning and flying with it, and inwardly as well as outwardly. So that's lovely to hear. Thank you for sharing that very much.
Yeah, and I also know more indirectly that music is also very effective in certain cases of people with autism that are acting out in younger ages.
Absolutely.
So possibly as a calming effect, but also for the people with autism, I think it gives them something to focus on.
Exactly, because that's quite hard for them, and the emotional aspect doesn't come in very easily, but connecting it to sound actually helps something come together, that the left and right hemispheres come together more easily in the head, in the brain. So yeah, so it's very interesting that you bring this up, Olav. I love it, I really do. So thank you for sharing that. Can I just ask you, so I think there was a point either up until 2006 or something where you were talked into doing reviews for the first time. I understand also that you come from a background where your stepfather was a newspaper or a paper editor. So you had some experience of looking upon what this writing thing possibly was about. And so connecting from that to the fact that you were talked into doing reviews, there must have been a reason why you were asked to do that. You must have had something going on that was good. That brings us to the section of the progressor venture. So, yeah, so I'll just leave you to that.
I can backtrack a bit here and go back to my growing up and listening to music. I eventually met someone and married someone in the 90s, which is pretty much where I left music, or even a couple of years before that, and didn't have any interest in it. But that first marriage fell apart around 2000-2001, and that's when I started to get more into music again. And one of the things I did was to start listening to an internet radio show back then on a station called progrock.com. And one of the guys who had a regular show there is George Roden, or Iggy Roden, as he often used to refer to himself as, who incidentally also was running a web page called progforyou.com. And we were chatting on that radio show, and he eventually talked me into doing reviews for him, and that was in 2006. So he sent me a load of CDs, and I wrote my reviews of them, and he posted them, and we worked on that for a year and a half, I think, before he ran out of capacity to run his webpage anymore, pretty much because of one of his other projects, which is called Rossfest, the Rites of Spring Festival.
Yes.
Which is prog festival in the US that has been ongoing now for 20 years or something.
Is that the one that's on the farm?
No, it's not. Rossfest started out as a festival based in Pennsylvania. It had a couple of different locations and then moved to Gettysburg.
Yes, that's right.
And it was there for a few years.
Yes.
And then the last couple of years it's been down in Florida.
Okay.
So George Roden doesn't run the festival anymore. He gave it up last year, and Nick Catone of Melodic Revolution Records has taken over with some of his friends now, and they have a board now and run the festival. So backtracking back again to 2006, I was writing for progforyou.com. And then that activity dwindled. I'd kind of gotten hooked a bit on writing reviews, and I talked to the guy who was running a forum called Progressive Ears, because they had a lot of CDs that weren't reviewed. And I said to him, pass me the CDs that no one else wants to take on, and I'll take them on. How I think is that everyone deserves to get attention. And I'm very happy to take on those that no one else wants to take on, so that they can get some recognition. And among those CDs were a few CDs by a Danish artist called Robin Taylor. And my reviews of those were seen by a guy called Ken Westphal, who is an illustrator, graphics guy, who has also been doing reviews and was reviewing for Progressor.net at the time. And he felt that he had too much to do and wanted to get off and wanted to find a replacement. And he knew that the guy who runs Progressor.net really likes Robin Taylor. And he saw my reviews and connected two and two and pushed me in there and got that out. Well, that's
there you go.
That's 2008, and I'm now involved in Progressor.net. And the guy who started that site back in 1998 or 1999 is a guy called Vitaly Menshikov. Lives in Tashkent.
Yes.
He lives in...
The late Vitaly, is that correct, isn't it? Yes.
So I lived in Tashkent in Uzbekistan. I've since learned, especially after his passing in 2017, that he was quite a name in the former Soviet Union. Writing the first ever books about progressive rock and about metal back in the old Soviet Union. So many musicians have read those books and admire the information that Vitaly brought them back then.
Yes.
So he was quite a lot more famous than I knew.
Right. And now you are working with his son, Dmitry, I understand.
That's basically, so I'm going to backtrack a few years again. From 2010 to 2011, Vitaly got ill. His health was failing. So more and more of the reviews was going down to me. I originally signed up for doing 4 a month, and I was up to doing up to 20 a month and in the most hectic times there. Vitaly got steadily worse in health. He had many issues, yeah, and among them was he had some cancerous issues around one of his eyes that made it impossible for him to look at the screen for a long period of time, as his eye would start watering.
Oh, yes.
So he had those issues going for him. So pretty much I kept the ProgressorNet site alive with my writings for a quite long period of time there. We had a couple of couple of cases where we didn't have a monthly update because I got poor health as well. So the most serious one back in 2015 when I had a massive burnout. Took me almost a year to get back to my paid work, and I got some side issues with it. So a burnout isn't just a mental thing. So one of the things I experienced in that burnout period was that my blood pressure skyrocketed from 120 over 70 to 180 over 120.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
So it was a rather terrible time. I had a few months there where I basically slept 16 to 18 hours a day. So total exhaustion on all levels.
And how long did it take you to recover from that?
Well, I'm up on my feet, but I said that I'll never be the same guy as I used to be. The capacity for everything has diminished, sadly. And I got another little wrench thrown in my wheels as well. A year later, I've been back at work for a few months, and on a cold November morning, I slipped and broke my ankle.
Oh, gosh.
So I broke the bones, the small bones on each side of the ankle and several of the smaller bones in the foot. So I had to have surgery and got lots of plates and spikes and what's not in there, and had a fairly long recovery. Partially because I'm a rather big man. I'm about 190 centimeters tall. And I weigh in at probably 120 kilos, which means that trying to walk around on crutches, it just wasn't possible because my good knee just gave out. 5 minutes on crutches and my good knee would swell up and I have to ice it down. So I had a few months getting that in order. That happened late in 2016. And then in the summer of 2017, Vitaly dies. He has a heart attack. And basically...
For you guys and girls out there, that is a Vitaly Menshikov, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, just so they clearly understand that this guy...
Yes. So he is the guy who... He did all the technical bits and all the updates of the website. I was merely a writer.
Yes.
But at that point, I thought, okay, Progressor is finished and I have all these other things I'm doing as well that maybe I can now spend my time on. And then Vitaly's son Dimitri comes in and say, I want to carry on the Progressor site. I want to maintain my father's legacy and all that. Are you in? And of course, I can't say no to that.
No, you can't. Even if you want to, you can't.
But it's been a bit of odds and ends there because I just can't produce as much as I used to. I'm just not able to. So I do what I can, and I brought Kevin. And that's another story. We go a few years back. And we can talk about that if we get to show with Kev at some point. But
yeah, of course. That would be great. Yes.
But I asked him, would you be willing to send your reviews to me so I can put the Prog ones on the Progressor site and the other ones on another site that I also do some work for? And he agreed to that. So, well, I'd have my reviews, Kev has his reviews, and we get a fairly high amount of reviews per month on the Progressor site due to this interaction and this cooperation.
He's referring to Kev Rowland of the Progressive Underground. I'm sorry there. Please go ahead, Olaf.
I don't know. No problem. I'm so bad at doing the right referral, so it's good that you interject
there. No worries.
But that's where we are with the Progressive site, and it's still alive, still working. I do my 4 to 10 reviews a month there, and Kev does his 4 to 10 reviews per week. and we keep it going. And that's pretty much where I think that if some of your listeners have heard about me, that's the most likely place where they will have seen my name. That is the progressor.net website.
Yes. Great. And the internet radio show that you did back in 2007. So tell us a bit about that and what you were specifically doing. Were you an announcer? Were you a DJ? What were you?
Okay, then my DJing is also a long story. I'm going to have to fill up my cup of coffee for this one.
Let's get our seatbelts in. Let's get our seatbelts buckled.
it's not an hour-long story, thankfully, but I'm trying to have to recall details. Years have gone by, I'm not the young sparrow anymore.
You take your time there, darling. We're here having just a nice natter.
Yeah, but this one started back in, I believe it was 2007, and Sean Gordon ran the progressor.com website at that point. Also had a company called Prog Rock Records going at that time.
Yes.
He was running this station. I also mentioned that George Roden had a radio show on. And Sean Gordon asked if I would be happy to have a go with doing a show as well. Well, I said, of course, I'll give it a go. I had the available time at that point. So he sent me the standard software for internet DJs, which is still the standard today, called SAM, Spatial Audio Broadcast. And I started doing a weekly show on progrock.com on Wednesdays, if I recall correctly. I was doing that for a few months, and then a bit of drama happened here and there, which ended with me, George Roden, and a few other people deciding to, okay, we're going to start our own internet radio. So we did. We based it around a community called DeviantArt, where we had some channels and discussion forums and chats in there, and tried to get the ship going. And we did it for some months, I think. And then I just had to pull out of it because of my because of my personal life and part because of my working life. And I said to one of the guys who had joined us, a very good friend of mine now called Rick Henry, and said, sorry, but I can't do this ship anymore. I don't have the capacity. Please, can you take it over? Here you go. So he started to get to know how to run an internet radio station after that. The station laid dormant for, I think, a year, possibly 2 years. And then it was relaunched and is still active and is now called thehouseofprog.com. Internet radio station with some reviews by me and Kev and a few other people also popping up on the pages there. And it's going strong now for 11 years or something like that. I briefly returned for a couple of years there doing a show there also. I had a weekly 3 hour long radio show there until last summer when I decided to quit the radio show and do Spotify instead. Not because I dislike doing radio, but because the amount of promos I get had started to increase so drastically.
And things had changed for you at that point, given what you've already explained, to not wish to take on that degree of volume, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, I mean, in my radio show, I could present 15 to 17 albums in 3 hours. And then I got about 20 to 25 promos a week. That was okay. Then I could present those and review most of the rest. But now that I get 50 to 80 promos per week, it's not viable to doing a radio show anymore. So I could do a radio show 4 times a week, presenting around 70 titles. But a 3 hour show, it's 3 hour running time, an hour and a half at least of preparation, an hour of work afterwards, at least. So you're looking at 6 hours roughly for each show. And four shows times six, that's 24 hours, and that's a lot of time.
It's a huge commitment. And it's stuff that you love, but you've got to choose very wisely. And like you say, you've experienced a burnout, so you're not you know how to choose wisely now by that time anyway.
Yes, I pretty much try to give a bit of promotion to as much music as possible with the current capacities and possibilities I have.
Yes.
So that's stringing on along nicely to what I'm actually doing today. So we've been talking about progressivegod.net and what I'm doing there. For houseofprog.com, I still have a role as such. Then I receive promos, and I think just about everyone is aware of it. I mark all my promos. I give them short descriptions. Of course, I unpack all promos I get, tag them, name them, sort them, organize them. And DJs at House of Prog, they get a list of what I have. This is what I received this week. Let me know if you need anything here to promote on your show. So everything that is given to me will also be, if asked for, also be promoted by the House of Prog, the radio shows there, or sometimes also on the main non-show stream running there. So that's a little bit of service that I give the music that is sent to me. I also try to post some of the music news that comes my way. I don't have the capacity to all of them anymore because I get fairly often 50 to 60 emails per day.
Wow. Oh my gosh, really? Oh gosh, I thought I was in trouble. Goodness me. I don't want to know what.
So I do what I can with those emails, and I try to do a bit of promotion for the items I can do it with. So I set up a small Facebook channel where I post some new stuff in addition to posting my Spotify playlists when they are updated. And of course, I always tag band, label, and PR agent. Part of what I'm doing there is to get to let other people see what's available out there. So if an independent artist is on my Spotify playlist and they are tagged, they will see the tags of all those PR companies, so they can go in there and check, okay, what are they doing?
Yes.
And other artists looking for collaborators, for instance, for split albums and such, they can also find possible bands to follow up there. So it's So how I regard it, it's more of a networking tool than anything else. But also, of course, when I have a more popular artist on my Spotify playlist that have 100,000, 200,000 Facebook likes and such, they will also draw in some listeners that will also occasionally click on those smaller unknown bands and listen to them. So it's kind of an...
I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Can you say that amount again that you get on your Spotify playlist? Can you say that again, the amount of listeners you get?
I'm never going to claim that my Spotify playlist do anything major. It's an indirect form of networking / marketing that will occasionally pick up people. But what they call the long tail.
So this is fascinating. It's a lot of work, isn't it? But it's a lot of work for a passion that you love and desire to do, and but under a watchful eye of not overdoing it, you know. I also understand that you were, it was brought up at the beginning, you were directly involved with the US Progressive Rock Festival from 2012 by way of writing the majority of the band's announcements and press releases, attending the festival from 2013 to 2018.
Yeah, that's back to the Rossfest thing I talked about, the Rites of Spring Festival. And George Rolden, who ran this festival for those years, what he knew about me was that I could write quickly. So I'm not the best writer out there. I'm not the most professional writer out there. But he knew that if he was caught in a trouble, he could contact me and I could get him a press release in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. So, do you know what? It's really funny. I can tell you something. I can tell you something, guys and dolls out there. What you've just heard Olaf said is absolutely true, because I've only just been conversing with him this week or so. And I emailed him and just asked him a question. And within, I don't know, it was in about a nanosecond, I got this full, huge page of completely well-answered, brilliantly Englished. And brilliantly English. That's not very well put, but excellent English. And you're absolutely right. I can get why you got that job. Yeah, went to the right man.
Yes, and it was a lot of fun doing it. I'm not a marketing person. If you have ever seen one of my reviews, they are kind of dry, trying to describe the music and the components that make up the music, and not all that emotionally based. I try to be objective as much as one can when describing music. And I had the same philosophy for the press releases I wrote, not too bombastic and not flavored with those typical American marketing terms. What I did try to do, though, coherently through the years I wrote them, was also to underline the Rites of Spring Festival as a community and not just the festival. And that has become ingrained in the festival now, that it's a community, it's a family. It was there before I started doing those press releases too, but I started to emphasize it and stress it and use those descriptions to try to get it into the subconscious and unconscious thoughts of the people that were reading them. it was quite a lot of fun of doing that and playing out to that family feeling, and also throwing in a few religious words there. We had one regular spot on the festival, which was called the Church of Prague. The first set on Sunday morning, where only the most eager people would go, because most people would be too hungover to be able to.
Excellent. Well,
that was
excellent.
One of the glorious things about the Rites of Spring Festival, when it was in Gettysburg. We had those hotels up on the outskirts of town there, that were the festival hotels, and they pretty much allowed for everything. So we had parties in the hotel lobbies that lasted until 4 and 5 in the morning.
Sounds familiar.
People brought their own beer and their own spirits and sat around there and occasionally bought some snacks from the hotel lobby and basically had a jolly good time. when 10 or 11 a.m. Sunday morning came, quite a few people, they just looked at the clock and said, nah, a couple of more hours of sleep and a lot of coffee and then maybe.
Do you know, it just takes me right back. So I can't remember the name of the festival right at this second. It was like on a farm. I know all the people, but I can't think of it at this moment. But it just takes me back to that and my first journey to America.
Prague Day.
And doing a gig over
Prague
there.
Prague Day.
Yeah. Prague Day, yeah.
I think it's called that in North Carolina.
That's the place. It's in North Carolina, and they're a lovely family of people there. And it was a long time ago, but we were intending to get to Rosfest, but it never happened. Just life just went wherever else it went. I was always hoping to play there. But I have to say, you know, it's really funny, Olaf. As always, with people that have got so much to say, this more than 40 minutes has really come up, and I do not want to cut you off here because we're a mid-string. But I'm going to ask you. If you come back for a part two, so we can finish this story off, and because I want to know where it's going to go, and so would you come back for next week for me, please? I'd love that.
Yeah, we'll probably have to mail a bit and see what time I'm available at, because today it's good for me because I have a day off from work. We have what we call the heaven bounce here in Norway.
Yes. that's absolutely great. And we'll figure it out between ourselves. And for you prog-loving guys and dolls out there, I hope that you've really enjoyed hearing from somebody that's been behind the scenes, making it happen, getting those interviews out there, getting those reviews out there, getting those playlists out there, and all the other things that Olav actually does. He's so involved with people that I know as well. It's incredible. And I've heard of Olav, but it's Kevin that's brought you forward for me, Kevin Rowland, that is. He's brought you forward, and it should be about what goes behind the scenes, because it holds the seams together. It keeps us together, doesn't it? You know. So very important.
We could probably do an entire show on just what needs to be fixed in the music business, both from the professional and fan side. I have a few thoughts.
I've got a feeling we might be doing something like that with Kev Rowland and you. Do you know what I mean? We'll do a threesome. So, okay. So I want to thank you so much for coming on. We have to finish where we are. I know exactly where we are because I've got some notes on my screen there just to tell me. So I know what you haven't said yet. So I will, I'll keep you right in there. And we're going to get you back as soon as possible. I'm going to get, you know, after the show, we'll discuss it actually. And I want to thank you so much. And guys and dolls out there, I hope you've enjoyed this. Olav from Norway, a Norwegian man from Norway, Scandinavia, guys. And I think it's a first, isn't it, for the show? So from Norway. So that, isn't that great? So what wonderful information there. And I'm sure I know some of you jot down quickly or listen back to the show to go back in if you don't know some of these things that have been said. A lot of you do, of course. And yes, you know, but there you are. I hope you've really enjoyed it. And like I said before, don't forget, if you're listening to the show, still drive carefully. We're almost there. And thank you again. You're really appreciated for coming on here. You're really appreciated for sharing. And it's great to have my guests here. They're so appreciated, aren't they? You know, I love them. I love my guests. And Olav, this has been fantastic. So until Olav can come back and finish his story off, isn't it great when you've got a cliffhanger? Because, you know, they've got to come back, haven't they? They've got to finish off the story. So that's great. So take care of each other. Love one another. And I'll see you next week. And for now, it's over and out from Tracy's Prog World.